two seasons ago, Arizona State announced that Herm Edwards, a former NFL head coach who had become nationally known through his work on ESPN, would be taking over for the fired Todd Graham. Criticism was rampant, in part because Edwards had never run a college program and was well into his 60s. How would he relate to younger people and attract them to come to ASU? There was also something different in how Edwards' role was described. He was going to be more of a CEO rather than a traditional football coach. After 2 years at the helm and a bowl game victory last month and a nationally regarded recruiting class, the Edwards experiment is mostly considered to be a success. I spoke with Edwards days before he received a two-year contract extension and began by asking how different college coaching is from the NFL.
There's really not a lot of difference when you think about it. At either level, I think some people fail to realize this. Coaches are teachers. No coach in the history of coaching any sport has ever given a player talent. God gives them their talent. You give them knowledge. Now, they're at a younger age. You're probably a little bit more influential to them when they're young. When you think of it this way, high school players want to go to college to advance to play pro football. Pro football players want to coach how long can this guy keep me in the league? And what is he going to say to me or give me as far as information to keep me in the league?
There was a lot of news when you came in to ASU about is it a CEO role? Is this different?
Right.
And so has it been that way? Have you tried to choose a staff where you're empowering them? So they know that you're making the final decision and you're driving the direction, but that they can feel free to, frankly, fail sometimes.
Well, I think that's important. I think every coach has to have a voice. Now, there's always one voice that's louder than everyone's, and that happens to be mine as far as some decisions you have to make. But I just think it's better that way. I've been around coaches that have allowed – you have to allow coaches to coach. You can't micromanage these guys. First of all, I learned this. You can't be in every room all at once.
That's for sure.
There's no way you can do that. And so there's always a plan on what we're going to do offensively and defensively. The thing that I always rely upon is my communication skills with coaches and players. Now, I'm everywhere. I'm hardly ever in my office. I'm in meeting rooms. I'm in the players' rooms. I'm in the locker room. I'm in the weight room. I'm everywhere with these guys. I'm in the lunchroom. So I'm constantly talking to players as well as coaches. And then actually, when we go to practice, the secondary, I help coach the secondary every day. So I'm not just this walk-around guy that doesn't do anything. I actually do a lot of work.
So your most famous quote, of course.
Yeah.
You play to win the game. The team has done fine in your first couple of years. Mm-hmm. How do you measure right now? Because you've brought in so many young recruits.
Yeah.
And so these are really young guys. Do you think you can do better as you go forward?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the process of building a program. You know, our goal is to win the Pac-12 South and eventually play in this Rose Bowl. I mean, that's our intentions. And that's what we talk about. And you want those kind of players that want that pressure on them to achieve that. And I think, you know, this year I got to give credit to a lot of the young guys. We played 32 freshmen, either true freshmen or obviously or redshirt freshmen. And when you look at the program going into this season, we'll only have 9 seniors on this team.
Wow.
So it's a young team, but it was done that way purposely. You know, we have to build it from the ground up. We had to go out and recruit, and that's the lifeblood of any football team is recruiting, especially college football.
How do you feel about the way a team has to adjust to the talent? I mean, you have what looks like a really star young quarterback who's going to be a sophomore. Does that change how you look at how you approach whether you're going to be more of a running team, more of a passing team?
Oh, yeah. Well, no doubt. The whole offense revolves around your quarterback, and we've been very fortunate to acquire one that's pretty special. And, you know, this was a year for him to earn the trust from me. And the trust was this: you don't throw the ball to the opponent. The only way the opponent gets the ball is basically you kick it. You punt it, you kick it after you score a touchdown, or you kick it for 3 points. So if you give the ball to the opponent by kicking it, you're doing good. And for him to only throw 2 interceptions, and one was a Hail Mary, go through a season in which he went through, win 7 games as a true freshman, beat 3 opponents that were ranked nationally, that says a lot. And so the offense obviously will be built around him.
And you'll have a new set of coordinators, offensive and defensive. What's that going to change for you?
Well, that's, you know, all of a sudden a new offensive coordinator comes in with some different ideas and some different ways that we're going to play offense, which I think will be very entertaining to our fans. But we'll still have a toughness to our offense. I still think you You know, in football, you score points by throwing a football, and you become a tough team when you run it. And so you have to have a balance there. Defensively, Coach White has been on the staff, and it was an easy elevation for me as far as hiring him as a defensive coordinator. You know, when you hire coaches in college football, the thing I realize, not only do they have to be good coaches, they have to be excellent. I mean, excellent recruiters. Because that's where it all, you know, it begins and ends. Can they recruit? And we've got some guys that are go-getters.
One of your longtime friends who helped out with the program last year, Marvin Lewis,
yes,
interviewed for the Dallas Cowboys head coaching job. Mm-hmm. And there's concern now. You were a former NFL head coach, African-American. Yeah. There's concern that where's the diversity? Does that concern you?
Well, it does. It just concerns a lot of people. And I'll not only say that in pro football, when you think about there's only four minority coaches that are involved in that. There was eight. I want to say it was eight or nine when I was coaching back in 2002 or three or four. There was about eight of us. Now there's only four. And I would say this: as much as we want to, you know, look at the NFL, which we should, because that's kind of the everyone kind of takes their lead in football from that. Think about college football.
Yeah,
it might be worse.
As far
right?
as percentage, yeah.
Oh, it is. It's way worse when you think about the Division I jobs, and I think there's only 11 minority head football coaches. Now, I could be wrong, but I don't see over 15. But it all starts, there's a process to all this.
So many of the players are African American, and you feel like, well, what? It just seems like there should be more of a pipeline after all these years.
Yeah, well, it's gotten better. I mean, look, I came in the league in 1977 as a rookie player. There were seven minority coaches in the whole National Football League.
Yeah, these are including assistants, you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about, yeah, except that's it,
yeah.
Total.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've come a long way. There's still some water to cross. I do believe that will, you know, it'll get – and the way you do it is just giving people opportunities. That's all you want. It's just give them an opportunity. Give them an opportunity to succeed or fail. But if you're not allowed an opportunity, how do you know?
That is ASU head football coach Herm Edwards. Herm, my pleasure to talk with you. Thanks very much.
Pleasure's all mine. Thank you.